first reading is from John 18, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. And our second reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. These are the words of the Lord.
Father, I pray this morning that you would use my words. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, would you speak into our hearts those things that you would speak to us this morning? Amen. So as Andy has said earlier, and as we know, today is the festival of Christ the King. And in the two readings that we had, we heard about the kingship of Jesus. In that passage from John, what we saw was a king that was different to the world's expectation. And if Jesus was a king, that was a king who was different to the expectations of the world, surely as the followers of the king, the manner that we follow a king should be different from the way that the world follows its kings. In Revelation, we heard of King Jesus, the ruler over all the earth. We heard of God's glory and his dominion, his kingship that will last forever. And we heard that as a result, we have been made into a kingdom of priests. Just going to move that. It keeps catching. I don't know if that's any better. And we heard in the passage that it speaks of God who was and is to come. And that's what I want to focus on really today, about the kingship of Jesus, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. So firstly, the one who was and is. The emphasis here is on the reign of God, both past and present. God's reign is now. Even if we look at the news, it appears otherwise. I don't know about you, I sometimes see what's going on in the news, open up the paper, and then you end up with questions in your mind. God, are you really reigning now? And I'm sure some of us have those questions in our own mind when we see that. But the truth of those scripture is that there is somebody who is seated on a throne. And the book of Revelation is an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, it's a book that either people tend to avoid or they go a bit weird over and get all sci-fi on us about it. But actually, actually, when we know what Revelation is and why Revelation was written, it is a book that is written in code to a persecuted church. When I've written, I've got some friends that are working somewhere in one of those countries out towards Russia. I won't say which one it is. And whenever we write an email, we have to write in code. We can't use the word God. We talk about your dad or my dad. I have to write in code to them, because if it was found out that they were there as Christians, they would be persecuted. And Revelation is exactly the same. When we see what seems to be the weird bits in there, and golly, there are some weird bits in there, aren't there, when you read it, you think, what is this all about? We need to understand that it was a book that was written in code to a persecuted church. It was a church that was under threat from Imperial Rome. It was a church where Caesar was supposed to be Lord and King in the culture that they were living in. And in the middle of this, where Caesar was Lord and King, the writer proclaims that Christ, not Caesar, is King. It is politically subversive. In a culture where you had to bow the knee before Caesar, or there were consequences, here we have Jesus, the one, sitting on the throne. Rome may threat. Rome may appear all-conquering. But Jesus is greater. Christ is King, not Caesar. So that's great. That's great to the people reading it. That book in code to those people at that time. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us with Christ being the King here today? The one who was and the one who is. Well, it means there is more transformation for the earth. It means that God has more power and authority than that is claimed by earthly rulers. And I think we need to know this truth. As God's church, I think we need to know this truth. When we look at the earthly rulers that are around, that God holds more power and authority than them. We're obviously not quite in the same situation as the persecuted Christians under the Roman Empire. But it's still good for us day to day to remember who really is King. There are and will be other kingdoms. Presidents, say no more. Political parties, even the fears around Brexit, they fade into insignificance in the face of Christ the King. There are other pretenders to the throne. And again, we may have some images of certain political leaders. Pretenders to the throne. People who see themselves as King, as Lord. But that's what they are. They are pretenders. As we heard in the reading, and this is one of my favourite passages in the whole of Scripture, that there is a throne and someone is seated on it. Who is that someone? It is Jesus, Christ the King. So what difference does this make to us? Well, I think it brings us some perspective in the trials and tribulations that we see in the world around us. It brings us a perspective as we worship and in our life together. It gives us perspective that there is a God who did and is and will transform the world. And I suppose when I was thinking about Christ being King, I felt quite personally challenged. And I guess it's a question for all of us. How does the way I think, how does my time, how does my word and my actions display who is truly Lord? I don't know if any of you who are technological geeks like me, who like their gadgets. Apple do a thing now, and it tells you how much time per day you are spending on your phone. And this morning I sat down to have my breakfast, and it popped up that it was down a percent or so last week. And I looked at it, and the hours that I'd spent on my phone or on a gadget during each day made me think, how much time have I spent looking at Twitter or checking my emails or checking the news or whatever it is, compared to how much of that app time was spent in the Bible on my phone or in daily prayer. And as I was preparing about Christ being king, I asked myself the difficult question, how does how I spend my time, my words, etc., display that kingship in my life? Is Caesar and the things of the world king, or is Christ the king? And we pray, don't we? We'll be praying later. We pray almost daily, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, that ain't going to happen magically, is it? You know, your kingdom come, your will be done, and golf is going to happen. Yes, it depends on God, not us. But we need to play our part in that. We are partners. We are partners of transformation with Christ the King and with one another. God's rule on earth, the kingship of Christ on earth, is going to be made visible through the kingdom of priests, through God's kingly priest that is us, as we heard in that story. We carry around the authority of Jesus. It reminded me of that scripture, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. And if we have that perspective of Christ being king, and us seated with him in heavenly places, that gives us a different perspective. That gives us a true perspective to how we live, we witness and work together. And we need to have a faithful witness in the face of the other claims to kingship. In our culture, yes, we have a queen, yes, we have a prime minister, but we're not in the situation of Imperial Rome. But what are the other claims to kingship in our culture? What are the other claims to kingship in our own lives? And actually, in the face of that, our call and our witness is to be faithful to Christ the King, to be faithful to joining in with Christ the King in his work of transformation, to witness together to the kingship and the lordship of Jesus. And how do we do that? We do that by opposition to all the earthly powers that seek to usurp the place of God. Again, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it is a powerful and politically subversive statement. It's not a sweet little prayer that we trot out when we feel like it, or trot out because it's there in the liturgy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth where other people's systems set themselves up as Lord. What might these systems be for us? It may be political power. It may be the scary rise of nationalism and scapegoating that we are seeing in our culture and in cultures around the world. It may be more subtle kingdoms which demand our allegiance. I followed some interesting comments on Twitter on Black Friday. And some people sort of saying this is great for us because there are things that we cannot afford if we don't buy them today. And other people saying today is the day to resist the kingship of materialism, where we just go out and buy for the sake of buying. What are the things that claim kingship and lordship in our lives? Individualism is a claim to kingship, I think, in our culture that is rife. And you may be able to think of other things. But the story of today is that there is another king. Christ the King. Christ the King who is seated on the throne. Jesus is king, not Caesar. And to the first readers of Revelation, it was dangerous to call Jesus Lord. It could cost you your life. And the temptation must have been great to fall away from faith in the situation they were in. But what are the dangers for us? It's less violent, but more subtle. As I've asked, what are the laws and the kings within our culture that demand our allegiance? What empire's voice shouts loudest in our head? And among this, can we still hear the small, still voice of God saying to us, this is the way, walk in it. Come follow Jesus, Christ the King, and a better and lasting kingdom is the call of today. And of course this has implications for us as individuals. As I said, I felt challenged as I was preparing. But it doesn't just have implications for us as individuals. It applies to our mission. There is a world out there held captive to other lords. You only have to look at the media on Friday to see that in our culture. You only have to look at the blame and the scapegoating and the rise of nationalism that's happening to see that is there in our culture. We have a better story to tell. Christ the King, the one who sits on the throne, whose kingdom is a different kingdom. All lords like Rome are ultimately temporal and passing, and our call in the world, our call in the words of Psalm 68, is to introduce others to King Jesus. To introduce them to King Jesus, who leads out the prisoners we're singing. We look around us, and ourselves sometimes, and others around us, are prisoners to other kings. Are prisoners to other lords. And our mission is to proclaim the kingdom and see those captives set free. So they can see Christ the King, the one who was and is, but who is also the one to come. You know, it doesn't take a genius, does it, to see that God's kingdom has not fully come on earth. But God is active in history. Christ the King is the one who was and is. We see that in the story of Scripture. We see that in the witness of our own and others' life. However, Christ the King is also the one who is to come. He will bring more transformation, more restoration in individuals, communities, in all of creation. We will see the fulfilling of the kingdom. So again, I ask myself, I ask us the question, what difference does that make to us? What difference does it make that we know the King who is on the throne is coming? Well, I think it should lead us to live as a people of hope. We know that the reign of Christ is here, partially, but the reign of Christ is coming. This should give us a different perspective. Those first readers were a community under threat. For different reasons, we might feel like a community under threat. Especially when the Church of England go on producing attendance figures, as they did last week. We might look around, Andy said this morning, we're a bit thin on the ground. We might look around and see dwindling numbers. We might see that in our culture. We might see a less wholehearted following of Christ. But let's have the perspective of Christ the King. The one who was and is to come. His kingdom cannot be stopped. We need the perspective that things are not as they seem. Like Paul said in Corinthians, we might sometimes feel hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted. But as he goes on to say, we are not crushed. We are not in despair. We are not abandoned or destroyed. Why? Because there is a throne and somebody is seated upon it. Jesus is King. Despite the current circumstances of the world, Jesus is the one who is seated on the throne and will return to see his kingdom fulfilled. That should make us a people of hope. We have hope of a glorious future. So today, as we think about the festival of Christ the King, as we listen to the readings that Beth brought to us, it reminds us who is really on the throne. It reminds us that the throne of heaven is occupied and that there is hope for the future. John concludes by saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God is our beginning and our ending. Christ is king. Christ is seated on the throne. So how then does this impact our life and our mission? My encouragement to myself and to us all this morning is, let's live in the light of these facts. Let's live as people who have God's perspective on kingship. Let's live as a people who are a people of hope, because the kingdom has come and the kingdom is coming, and nothing can stop that. Today there is a throne with someone sitting on it. The one who holds all time, past, present and future. The one who was, who is and is to come. Christ the King. Amen.